Your 702 Weekend Breakfast with me, Gugs Mhlongom. Time for us to get into our health conversation. And this week, the Tshwane Metro has advised residents about measures to counter the flu season. This is as an increased number of influenza cases are being reported in the city of Tshwane. And as the weather gets colder, we get told that it is flu season. I got an email from my medical aide this week saying it is that time of year. These are the precautions you need to take. They are flu shots available and you should take them. And I'd love to hear from you if you are in Tshwane and either you've recently caught the flu because those cases have been noted, or you're in Tshwane and you are concerned. Give us a call on 011-883-0702. Maybe you have a question about the flu vaccine. Maybe you've received an email as well from your medical aid. You have a comorbidity and you're wondering about whether or not you need the vaccine. You can also call us on 011-883-0702. Send us your WhatsApp messages on 072-702-1702. We're joined on the line by Chief Clinical Officer at Discovery Health. Dr. Noluthando Nematswerane joins us this morning. Dr. Nematswerane, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Morning, Cooks, and morning to the listeners.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for your time. So, Dr. Nematswerane, we often get told that this time of year, certainly the cooler, colder months, are flu season. Is it that we see more cases around this time of year, but, you know, people do get sick with colds and flu throughout the year?
Yes, definitely. I think it's important to also differentiate between the common colds and influenza and other respiratory viruses. So
yes,
the influenza virus is really common during the winter season, which we refer to as the flu season. And I mean, it varies from year to year in terms of the start, but the peak periods for the influenza season are around June. July up until August, and then, you know, by September, then we start seeing the cases go down.
Mm-hmm.
But in some years, it can actually start as early as April, which is why we encourage people to get vaccinated as soon as the vaccines become available, and usually at the end of March and early April. So I think that's the right time right now for people to get vaccinated against flu, especially if they do have some of the conditions that may predispose them to severe cases of flu that may require them to be hospitalized. Or some people, I mean, with severe chronic conditions, and especially the elderly over the ages of 65, could actually even die from influenza. So I think it's important.
Doctor, you also said it's quite important to also differentiate between the flu and colds. Because for many of us, we use those words interchangeably. You get a sniffle and you say, I've got a cold, and or I've got the flu, or you have the flu and you say you've got a cold. What is the difference between the two? And why is it that, for instance, there is a flu vaccine but not a cold vaccine? Is it because one is a virus or caused by a virus?
Yes, they are all caused by viruses. So common colds have got various viruses that cause them. But colds are a milder form of these respiratory illnesses. So you find that you've got a scratchy throat, you've got a bit of a cough there and a bit of a snuffle. But when you think about influenza, that's where you get fever, high fever, you've got muscle aches, a terrible headache. You really just feel ill. Most people will be in bed. Whereas with a cold, you can be walking around, just feeling a bit uncomfortable, but not really very sick. So I think that's the difference, that a cold is not severe, which is why we don't even think about vaccinating against colds. But influenza, because it's a severe form, that's why we then worry about it. And also the complications that arise from a flu, where you can get pneumonias. And for some of the people that I've already mentioned,
mm-hmm.
they can actually get a severe illness and be admitted.
Mm.
And I think these days, obviously, we add COVID, which is another respiratory illness that we've experienced over the past recent years. But, I mean, the cases are much lower. It's unlike when we were in the thick of the pandemic. Right now, there are some people who may still also be experiencing COVID symptoms because it has not really left the environment. So there are some cases. So there is an overlap in terms of presentation between these three illnesses. But it's important for people to take similar precautions in terms of don't expose others when you are sniffling and all of that. Make sure that you throw away your tissues, you cough in a, you know, we've taught people how to cough, you know, using your elbow and all of that, or cough onto your tissue and throw it away. But also, you know, because people are back now at work, try and not expose others to illness by staying away when you are feeling sick, and making sure that you wash your hands. You know, the same things that we were teaching during COVID still apply to these common viral infections like influenza and common colds.
Mm. Let's go to Sipiwe, who is in the capital there in Tshwane. Sipiwe, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Gugu. How are you?
We're very well, thank you, Sipiwe. You're based in Tshwane, where we're seeing an increase of these cases in flu. Are you worried about the increase in cases?
Yes, I'm a bit worried because, you know, Gugu, I fell sick about 2 weeks ago and I was diagnosed with bronchitis. I went to the doctor and everything, got medication, but at the end of my leave, or the leave last week, Monday, I felt I wasn't well. I went back to him. Then he said no. He looked at me, he said, all the symptoms that I have and the way that I'm explaining things, it's COVID. So he gave me other antibiotics now for COVID. But now my lungs, funny thing is my lungs are still, you know, tight. And he didn't give me anything to, you know, those small machines where I've got the machines, not nebulizers, to nebulize, you know, because it's what I normally would get if I'm very sick. But he didn't give me one of those. So I'm worried about the cases if they are going up. And I'm worried about the people at work. Am I going to infect them? Will I be clear on Monday to go back? You know, all of those things. And my household, obviously.
Dr. Nematswerani, in Sipiwe's case, where initially it looked like flu or bronchitis, now there's a concern that it might be COVID. In this instance, what should they do?
Yeah, so I mean, there is no way of looking at a person and differentiating between the two, because if you look at the presentation of COVID and influenza, it's actually very similar. So you've got overlapping symptoms. So the only way you can differentiate is really if there is a test that's been done and it confirms that it is COVID. At the end of the day, if Google is not in the high risk group, the way that we're going to be managing her, it's going to be very similar, in that it's symptomatic management and making sure that she doesn't infect others. So she stays at home for at least 3 to 5 days until she's less infectious. But, you know, some of the symptoms will continue, specifically the cough. It may continue for a little while longer. But if she is feeling, tightness in her chest, then she does need to go back and make sure that she is managed appropriately to relieve the chest tightness. But otherwise, I think in terms of precautionary measures, it will be very similar in terms of how we advise her to manage it. Mm. So it's bed rest, it's fluids, it's pain management and fever management if she's got fever. But then for this particular presentation, which is chest symptoms, she just needs to make sure that, you know, they've ruled out, you know, severe forms of, you know, where the chest now has become, has got complications of pneumonia or stuff like that. But otherwise, even there, she just needs symptomatic management, and then she will soon recover. Mm. The immune system will help her get back to normal.
Doctor, you were saying earlier on that one of the big challenges with flu is that it can lead to severe illness and in some instances death. I was looking at numbers, about 650,000 people die of flu-related causes every year worldwide. In South Africa, about 7,000 to 12,000 people die from flu. Who are some of the groups or people that are at risk of severe illness or death from flu? Is everyone at risk?
No, not everyone is at risk. So it's the extreme ages, the under 5s, the over 65s, pregnant women, people living with HIV, diabetic patients, people with heart disease, so already in heart failure, you know, people with chronic renal disease, people who are dialyzed. So it's all those people, I mean, people with, you know, asthma patients, people with chronic obstructive airways disease, so chronic lung conditions. So it's all those people who have got those conditions, and some people also with who are on medications that suppress their immune system, so they become more prone to getting these infections and having them much more severely. Mm-hmm. Which is why we know that people don't really take flu seriously. I mean, I do these talks every year, but our flu vaccine uptake is still very low in the country. So I think people do not understand. We can, you know, we share these statistics, but I don't think people really take flu seriously. I think the only time people will take it seriously is when they find themselves, you know, hospitalized. And I think we want to prevent that. We want to say, while it may look like a common mild illness, it can be quite severe. And the statistics speak for themselves that there are people who actually die from flu.
And so when is a good time to get the vaccine? I remember in the past, the advice seemed to be you want to get vaccinated before you get sick. If in the event that you catch a cold or you get infected with influenza before you're vaccinated, is it still worth vaccinating afterwards? So in terms of timing, what is best?
So timing is as soon as the vaccines become available, which is end of March, early April, and they are available right now. So we usually say that because we want you to develop those antibodies prior to getting into the flu season. Like I said, usually the flu season could be in the middle of the winter season, but it can start as early as April. So you need to give yourself at least 2 weeks for your antibodies to develop and your immune system to be ready to fight. So, which is why we always say to people, so if you get your vaccine today and you get infected tomorrow, you're not protected. So we want people to give themselves sufficient time for their bodies to develop those antibodies so that they are actually fully protected. Well, not fully because there's no 100% coverage, but at least well protected ahead of the flu season. So this is the right time for people to get vaccinated.
Doctor, when I was made aware of the flu vaccine that's now available for the season, there were two of them. One is called Influvac. The other is Vaxigrip Tetra. I've never heard of either of those names. Does it matter which one you take, depending on what's available? What is the difference between them? Oh, we seem to have lost the doctor today. I'm not sure what happened to the doctor. We'll try and get her back in a moment. Let's just go to Centurion with Anne, who has a question. Anne, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Gugu.
Yes, Anne.
I have an autoimmune disease called Sjögren's. Mm-hmm. It falls into the same category as lupus.
Yes.
Will the flu injection have any impact on that, and especially on the methotrexate, which is a oral chemotherapy tablet?
Uh-huh. Dr. Nema Tswerani, we have you back. And do you have an answer for Anne?
Yes. So I think, I mean, Anne, you need to just understand that sometimes with the medication that you take where your immune system is suppressed, that your response to the vaccines may not be as good as somebody who is not on immunosuppressants. Because remember, the vaccine stimulates your immune system to provide those antibodies that are protective. So I think you need to speak to your doctor around the level of protection that you will get from the flu vaccine, depending on the medication that you currently are taking, so that they can advise accordingly in terms of how to go about, you know, vaccinating. So I think it's important. I mean, this is the same issue that we had even during COVID, where some people, based on the medication that they are taking, they may not be fully protected. So I think it's important. But I think what's even better, you know, is thinking about the vaccination in combination with other precautionary measures to make sure that you protect yourself from getting influenza, because obviously of the higher risk of being more sick compared to others.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Good care.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you so much.
I was just saying, Doctor, does it matter which vaccine you get? Because I'm aware that there are two available. Does it matter which one I choose?
Thank you so much. It's important to also just maybe explain a little bit further for the rest of the listeners in terms of the two types of vaccines that are available. So we've got what we call the trivalent one and the quadrivalent one. Tri means three, so there are three strains of the influenza vaccine that are influenza strains that are incorporated into that vaccine. So you're protected against three strains that are causing severe flu. And then the other one has got four, which is quadri, tetra. So you've got the one that has got three and the one that has got four. What has been shown, though, is that it doesn't matter which one you get. You still get good protection. In actual fact, in the United States and other countries, in fact, even from the recommendations from the World Health Organization, it does look like, the three-strain vaccine is the preferred going forward. So we may see that, the four-strain vaccine may be discontinued at some point. So I think whichever one you get, don't feel like because it's the other one has got more, it is better. Even the three-strain vaccine is still quite good and actually the one that is recommended by the World Health Organization.
Doctor, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you so much, Gugs, and thanks to the listeners.
That's Dr. Nolutando Nemetswerani, the Chief Clinical Officer at Discovery Health.